top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good evening. This is the Prime Evening News for today, Tuesday, March 26th, in the headline. Dominica Freedom Party President Johnson Boston calls for increased transparency and full disclosure from Prime Minister Skerrington when negotiations are held with Dominica's international partners.
DA.com. Right on.
Scientists said on Tuesday that planting trees in the wrong places can actually contribute to global warming. But a new map identifies the best locations to regrow forests and cool the planet. And Senegal's president-elect Bassirou Diomaye Faye made his first public appearance since his main rival conceded defeat in the country's presidential elections, vowing to govern with humility. Details coming up next.
Right on cue. Of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Dominica is constructing its first international airport in Wesley in a major effort to enhance global connectivity and transform the country's tourism sector. But since the announcement of this project, which took place at the Windsor Park Sports Stadium on June 9, 2021, there have been mixed feelings and concern about the EC $1.3 billion project. On December 21, 2023, Prime Minister Skerry told the media that work on the international airport is unscheduled and is scheduled for completion in 2025. Mobilization is about 99% advanced of the completion of accommodation, offices, workshops, storage facilities, utilities, and the concrete mixing plant, close quote, he revealed, the asphalt mixing plant and crusher are currently being worked on. He said, and I quote, "We are now entering a phase where you can begin to see focus on runway development, with work commencing on the primary runway, which will be utilized for both takeoff and landing." President of the Dominica Freedom Party, Johnson Boston, is pleased for the construction of the airport, but is in disagreement with the site selected at what he classifies as a trick by Prime Minister Skerry regarding the funding strategy to be utilized for the airport. Mr. Boston stated that at the signing ceremony for the airport project at the Windsor Park Sports Stadium, Mr. Skerry promised Dominicans that funding for the airport would be front-loaded from the MMC Limited through the CBI program. However, Mr. Skerry said on November 30th, 2020, "We are going to do this airport on our own, and that is why we started to save some monies for the airport." Then the Chinese government indicated its willingness to assist us with a significant portion of the construction funds. But COVID-19 came about, and like anywhere in the world, China has been impacted. Skerry revealed this while speaking to local media. Mr. Boston asked when this negotiation occurred between the government of Dominica and the Chinese government.
Now, the Prime Minister politically said about the Chinese would build the airport. The Chinese came and responded that they were not going to fund. The Prime Minister went to Parliament and approved monies for the airport project. They hire an airport manager or construction manager. Some monies was being paid. Then we had this big festival in the Windsor Park where we had Anthony Hayden and the Prime Minister in a big show that he was going to build the airport. He would advance his money and then we would give him a passport to regain his money. All of a sudden, we're hearing now the Chinese are going to build the airport. So really, we have to ask the question, are the Prime Minister taking this country and the people of Dominica for fools and believe he can pull a wolf over your eye every time and do his own thing and only a few of us? We'll talk about it because, after all this money that's going all around the place should be invested in the country to improve lives. I mean, the world is challenged, yes, the economic situation in the world is challenged. But a number of countries, including our neighbors in the Caribbean, are doing much better than we are doing, because what happened? Their money have gone into their country and people. Our money have gone in all kinds of situation and so forth, and it has been diverted in many places. So it's not available to us as a country to build our economy, to create jobs for our people, and so forth.
And that was President of the Dominica Freedom Party, Johnson Boston. In light of the IMF's March 16th Economic Outlook Report for Dominica, Pastor Matthew Ogis asked the nation, are we satisfied with the level of economic stability in Dominica? Pastor Matthew calls on Dominicans to examine the level of development of the country's economic sectors and begin making informed decisions to support or change persons in various positions of leadership for the betterment of the organization and department.
Questions of economic stability, questions of healthcare, questions of the application of truth and justice, questions of independence and freedom, questions of nepotism and allegiance-based opportunities, questions on education and innovation, questions on autonomy, questions on the fear of God, and questions on security and potential threat. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you listening to me, wherever you are, I want to ask the same question that I was asked, and I've also asked some of the questions also to some of these people who asked. And the question here is, are we satisfied with these very same areas?
Pastor Matthew Ogis. Q95 News has confirmed that the Eastern Caribbean Securities Exchange, its licensed member broker dealers, and Eastern Caribbean Securities Regulatory Commission are hosting the 2024 Regional Schools Investment Competition. The inaugural competition took place last year and saw 29 schools across the ECCU vie for the top spot. VFCSS Invest of Beaufort Comprehensive Secondary School, St. Lucia, became the inaugural regional champion. This year, the competition takes place over the period of October to November 2024. The competition will be presided by education webinars to introduce the students to investment basics, financial securities, and to share information about the Eastern Caribbean security markets. The webinars are also open to all students of schools and can accommodate virtually. There will also be a separate competition briefing sessions held with the competitors prior to the commencement of the competition. The competition targets food for fifth form students and first year tertiary level students and will take place in two phases. The first is an intra-country phase where each school will compete for the top spot in their respective country. The intra-country winners will then advance to the regional phase of the competition to compete to become the regional champion. The competition, which takes place over a period of 6 weeks, provides the opportunity for students to experience security market activity firsthand. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website. That's www.q95da.com. According to Petra Grell Schillingford, the communication specialist at the Ministry of Agriculture, an upcoming project on the island is geared towards enhancing the nation's ability to boost food security and meet supply chain needs. Schillingford emphasized that the project aims to support farmers in revitalizing their livelihoods, ensuring citizens have access to sufficient food, and ultimately addressing food insecurity concerns. She spoke on state-owned radio this afternoon.
The contingency emergency response component of the Emergency Agricultural Livelihoods and Climate Resilience Project. This component is in a response to the supply chain and food security as it relates to the war in Ukraine going on now. This has affected supply chain, this has affected commodities, being able to be transshipped, etc., and to enable people to have proper, solid, nutritious food. So there are a number of aspects of the CIRC We have the bananas and plantains, irrigation, protected agriculture, which is greenhouses, agro-processing. We have a number of components, 6 to be exact, and this will deal with all aspects of agriculture where farmers and agro-processors will be able to benefit. They all have different criteria and all have different thresholds and forms of assistance. But for farmers, you have to be a registered farmer. For processors, your business has to be registered, and then you have to supply your relevant details. We will be launching next week. This all falls under the Ministry of Agriculture and the project itself to assist farmers to really restore livelihoods and to ensure that the country as a whole has enough food to sustain its citizens, and food insecurity does not pose a threat.
Shillingford added that farmer registration for participation in the project will commence shortly, offering both online registration options and encouraging farmers to visit the designated farmer service centers to ensure that they are included.
Online, at the touch of a button on your phone, you take a picture of your documents, you upload that. So this is what we're working on in the launch. We'll have everything explained during the launch. For the post office, because we know farmers are in the all districts, it will be online also, but we're giving them the opportunity and the option to go into the farmer service center. Mm-hmm. As you know, your farmer service center is where the extension offices are, and that the secretaries are there, and they are there to assist you in that venture. So just remember that the documents are needed, expression of interest, which is the form to say that I want to be part of the program, I want to be part of this component, and your supporting documents, etc. And agro-processors will be online come from next week, and then the post harvest will be both a hybrid, so it'll be online and you can go also in person.
Petra Grell, Shillingford Agriculture Ministry Communications Specialist, Deputy Director General of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, FAO, Maria Helena Simodo, underscored the imperative for revolutionizing agri-food systems to combat the triple planetary crisis of climate change, biodiversity loss, and pollution. Simodo stressed the necessity for enhanced collaboration between the public and private sectors, empowering stakeholders within agri-food systems, adopting comprehensive cross-sectoral approaches, and maximizing efforts to optimize multilateral environmental agreements. In a series of events, Simodo highlighted various aspects of these transformative agenda. At an award ceremony recognizing 7 new world restoration flagships under the UN Decade on Ecosystem Restoration, she emphasized these initiatives as beacons of hope in reversing ecosystem degradation by advocating restoration, conservation, and innovation. The role of the private sector was a focal point during a business and industry major group high-level dinner, where Simodo emphasized the potential for stronger collaboration with businesses to drive innovation and address current environmental challenges. She underscored FAO's commitment to supporting private sector actors in developing sustainable agri-food practices, climate action, and social responsibility principles. In a video message commemorating the International Day of Remembrance of the Victims of Slavery and the Transatlantic Slave Trade, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres emphasized that descendants of enslaved Africans and individuals of African descent continue to struggle with equality and freedom globally. Guterres stressed the need for people worldwide to reject the enduring legacy of this heinous crime against humanity and unite in safeguarding human rights with dignity.
For 400 years, enslaved Africans fought for their freedom while colonial powers and others committed horrific crimes against them. On the International Day of Remembrance of the Victims of Slavery and the Transatlantic Slave Trade, we remember and honor the millions of Africans who were trafficked and enslaved. Their lives were ruled by terror as they endured rape, floggings, lynchings, and other atrocities and humiliations. Many of those who organized and ran the Transatlantic Slave Trade amassed huge fortunes. Meanwhile, The enslaved were deprived of education, healthcare, opportunity and prosperity. This laid the foundations for a violent discrimination system based on white supremacy that still echoes today. Descendants of enslaved Africans and people of African descent are still fighting for equal rights and freedoms around the world. Today and every day, we reject the legacy of this horrific crime against humanity. We call for reparatory justice frameworks to help overcome generations of exclusion and discrimination. We appeal for the space and necessary conditions for healing, repair, and justice. And above all, we resolve to work for a world free from racism, discrimination, bigotry, and hate. Together, as we remember the victims of the transatlantic slave trade, let's unite for human rights, dignity, and opportunity for all.
United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres. The Electoral Reform Coalition, ERC, says it is encouraged by the recent announcement by Prime Minister Roosevelt's character that a revised electoral legislation will be presented to Parliament before the next budget debate. However, the ERC remains concerned about the statements of the Prime Minister, which tends to frighten the Dominican population into accepting what appears to be his legislation prepared by his team of experts, led by the Attorney General, while the identity of his electoral reform legislation team is yet to be revealed to the citizens. Any attempt to go to Parliament, they said, with unacceptable legislation is unacceptable, with any such threats will definitely be resisted. In other news, scientists emphasized on Tuesday that planting trees in unsuitable locations could exacerbate global warming. However, they highlighted a newly developed map that pinpoints optimal areas for forest regeneration, offering a solution to cool the planet. Trees play a crucial role in absorbing carbon dioxide and restoring degraded woodlands or planting saplings to increase forest cover. Is considered a key strategy in combating climate change. However, a study published in the journal Nature Communications revealed that in some cases, an increase in tree density can lead to less sunlight being reflected from the Earth's surface, resulting in more heat being absorbed by the planet. Susan Cook-Potter, one of the study's co-authors, explained to the AFP that there are some places where putting trees back leads to net climate negative outcomes, adding that while scientists were aware that restoring tree covers affects albedo, the amount of solar radiation reflected off the planet's surface, they previously lacked the tools to account for it. Using the new maps, researchers were able to factor in both the cooling effect from trees and the warming caused by decreased albedo. For the first time, they discovered that projects that failed to consider albedo overestimated the climate benefit of additional trees by 20-80%. And Bassirou Diomaye Faye, an opposition presidential contender in the Senegal and a newcomer in politics who has garnered popularity among disillusioned young people, pledged on Monday to lead with modesty and openness. Expected to be officially declared as the next president following his main opponent's concession, Faye expressed gratitude to President Macky Sall and other candidates for upholding Senegal's democratic principles.
Bassirou Diomaye Faye turned 44 on Monday, and for his birthday this year, news that he'd been elected Senegal's next president. Faye made his first public appearance on Monday evening after the ruling coalition's candidate Amadou Ba conceded defeat.
Le peuple sénégalais a fait le choix de la rupture.
The Senegalese people have chosen to break with the past, to give substance to the immense hopes raised by our vision of society.
Que notre projet de société a suscité.
I hope that our vision of society has given substance to their aspirations.
À gouverner avec humilité.
I pledge to govern with humility and transparency, and to fight corruption at all levels.
Faye thanked President Macky Sall and other candidates for respecting Senegal's democratic tradition by recognizing his victory well before official results. Provisional results had shown the opposition leader on 53.7% of the vote from Sunday's election, compared to Ba's 36.2%. Sall and Ba hailed the outcome as a win for Senegal. The country has witnessed 3 years of unprecedented political turbulence, marked by violent anti-government protests. Further unrest was triggered when Sall attempted to postpone the election by 10 months.
We intend to turn this page, to reconcile hearts, to reconcile the Senegalese people.
Faye was backed by popular opposition leader Ousmane Sonko. He had been barred from running in the election due to a defamation conviction he says was politically motivated, which the authorities denied. Faye and Sonko, who were recently released from prison under a pre-election amnesty law, are particularly popular among the youth, disaffected by economic hardships and unemployment. Faye promised to dedicate more state resources to help the younger population.
That's the Prime Evening News, and here's a recap of the headlines. Dominica Freedom Party President Johnson Boston calls for increased transparency and full disclosure from Prime Minister Skerrit when negotiations are held with Dominica's international partners.
The Big Station.
Scientists said on Tuesday that planting trees in the wrong places can actually contribute to global warming. But a new map identifies the best locations to regrow forest and cool the planet. And Senegal's president-elect Bassirou Diomaye Faye made his first public appearance since his main rival conceded defeat in the country's presidential election,
and
vowing to govern with humility. I've been your presenter, Fidis Valman.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the Big Station. Q95.